Heavenly Father, send your Spirit that what we read will be not just words on a page, but your word to our hearts. Teach us this evening in Jesus' name. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveller. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, and took the other as just as fair, and perhaps having the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. They both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden by. Oh, I kept the first for another day, but knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh one day, ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by. That has made all the difference. You've all heard that before, yes? Robert Frost. I learned it ages and ages ago. Robert Frost wrote that in 1916. And he wrote it after he'd spent some time walking with a friend in Britain. He was an American who came over to Britain. And he sent a copy of this poem to his friend. And his friend, as a result of that, signed up for the war, even though he didn't have to because he was 37 years old. And he went off to war and he was killed. He made a decision. He made a choice. And he lived and died by that choice. What Robert Frost is doing, he's using a metaphor of a walk in the woods. Who was it went for a walk in the woods today? Yeah. He used a metaphor of a walk in the woods as a life. And he's talking about the choices we have to make. And many people take this, and actually this morning, someone mentioned to me after a sermon that I had done this morning about this very poem. And she said, The Road Less Travelled. And I said, no, it's called The Road Not Taken. She said, no, it's not. There's a book called The Road Less Travelled. And there is a book called that, but the poem is called The Road Not Taken. And Robert Frost himself said of it, it's a tricky poem. You see, by the time you get to the end of that poem, you're not quite sure whether it's a poem saying I made the right choice and I'm content, or whether you made the wrong choice and it's with regret. But you have to make these choices. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. I'm afraid I haven't been to... Has anyone been to all of the sermons on the Sermon on the Mount? Because you had to have been to every morning and evening service. Every morning and evening service for the whole of the summer. So that's pretty good going. Jesus starts out with this carrot. Blessed are they who... And we get those eight beatitudes. That carrot, if you want to be blessed by God, then this is the kind of person you need to be. And he goes on talking about distinctive salt and light, and then starts talking about the law. Someone else came up to me this morning and talked about, why does God have it in for lawyers? We were looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is the lawyer that Jesus is talking to. And I sort of thought, it hadn't really struck me that Jesus has it in for lawyers. But you know about lawyers? They love the letter of the law. The letter of the law, you see. Can you do this or can you not? What does the law say? Can we find a way around this? Can we find a way to not have to pay those taxes that we really ought to? Can we get out of this? Can we not? The letter of the law. And Jesus points out that the law was given by Moses not so you could follow the letter, but so that you could understand the heart of God. So when God says, do not murder, it's not that he really doesn't want you to kill anybody. What he wants is a heart that will never go down the direction that it would ever want to do that thing. And so he's teaching these things, Jesus, as he goes through this. And he talks about our relationship, the way we live with people, and our relationship with God, and how we pray. And he talks about putting God first, building that treasure in heaven. Trusting God, don't worry, but trust. Don't worry about doing the judging yourself. Let God be the judge. And then, as we come to this part here, he has now gone from the teaching to the challenge. And this is a challenge that we all have to embrace, because it's a challenge we all live lives, and we all come to those points in the road where we have to make a choice. Next slide, please. There we go. This is Lantic Bay. Did you know there was a place called Lantic Bay? It's just outside Foy in Devon. This is where we were on holiday. Now, if you look closely down the right-hand side, can you see there's a path there? And you see how the path goes round to the left and then goes along through that greenery. We walked down that path. On the map, I could see that there was another route that goes up, sort of skirting the tree line. But as we got to it, we couldn't see it. We couldn't find it anywhere. So we followed the path that everybody goes. And we didn't take the path up around the edge. And it was just reminded me as I was thinking about it that, you know, these are the kind of things we face every day. And what I want to do is to look at this, and I'm going to use an ABC formula. Can you cope with that? ABC. So the first ABC is a basic choice. We have to make a choice. And this is what Jesus is laying before us. You've got to make a choice. You're going to live your life, and you've got to choose. Now, the choices are the broad road that is easy, the narrow road that is difficult. I don't know how you make your choices. We decided we wanted to have fish and chips while we were on holiday. How do you know in a place you've never been to? If I was in Newbury, I know which fish and chip shop to go to, because I've been there before and I know what the fish and chips are like. But if you're in a foreign place, we're in Devon. No, we're not, we're in Cornwall. What do you do? You see, so my wife goes online and she looks for best fish and chip shop in St. Austell, which is where we were. We find the recommendation for the best fish and chip shop near us. Isn't that how you choose a restaurant? If you see two or three fish and chip shops there, and you see a big long queue in one, and the others are empty, which one do you go for? You go for the one with the queue, because someone obviously knows that there's something good coming out of that fish and chip shop, and nobody bothers with the others. We do this, don't we, with recommendations. Online, when you're buying something, which is the one that's recommended? Which is the one that's most popular? But you know, sometimes the one that's recommended and the one that's most popular is not the right one, or not the right one for you. And Jesus is challenging us here. Make your choice, and it's not following the crowd. It's doing the right thing, even if the crowd are going the same way. But even if the crowd are not going the same way, I have to make a choice. And you know, it's not a make a choice and that's it for the rest of my life. That's not what this choice is about. Because these choices, they keep coming after time and time again, don't they? We make a choice, and then we go a few more steps down the road, and there's another choice we have to make. And so we go another couple of steps down the road, and we make another choice. And each time we make that choice, we need to make the right choice. Because, as Jesus says, it's the road that leads to life. And where does the other road lead to? It leads to destruction. Have in mind where it is you're trying to get to. Where is the end of this? And the end of this is not to die a healthy person. That doesn't make sense, does it? We know, as human beings, we live and then we die. And we want to be healthy for all our lives. But once we die, it really doesn't count for anything. And what about wealth? We can live our lives pursuing wealth. And how much wealth will you accumulate? And how much will you take with you when you go? Make those choices because you have an end in mind. And that end should be, my choice, is the end is to be with Jesus, to follow that narrow road that leads to life, rather than the wide one that leads to destruction. Jesus says that only few find it. Well, let's be among those few, shall we? Let's be those who have chosen the narrow gate and walk that narrow road, no matter how hard it is. Because actually, you know, Jesus accompanies us along that road. And it may look hard, but it is possible if we walk hand in hand with Jesus. As you're going along, you find that there are people around with you. And this is the next part of my ABC. Avoid bad company. You know, people going along with you. And Jesus is talking here about false prophets. It's a funny thing about spiritual things. Anything that has potential is going to be seized by people who want power. And it's true of the church. You know, we've had this sex abuse scandal that's been going on in the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church and in many other organisations, actually. It's not just Christian ones. And it's because people who want something find that they can exploit the goodwill of, for example, the church and the people who come to the church. And so they transform something that was supposed to be good and blessing into something for their own ends. And it's been done with wars, it's been done with wealth, and so many things. You look back through the history of the church, and you will find it's littered with evil people who have got into the church and used it for their own ends. They are false prophets. False prophecy is something that the church has had to deal with all its life. If you look back, there was some first century teaching called the Didache, second century, I think, actually, called the Didache, and in that it talks about false prophets. And these were sort of itinerant people who would go around on offering prophecy. And the Didache gives some advice as how to know a false prophet. So, for example, if someone comes and prophesies, they can stay one day, they can stay 2 days, but if they stay 3 days, they're a false prophet. They can come and they can give you prophecies about your life, but if they ask for money, or if they ask for a sumptuous meal, then they're a false prophet. You see, because it's not about them. The word of God is about what God is saying to us. And you've got to be very clear of the distinction between the two. Watch out for false prophets. I remember my dad got told off some years ago when he preached a sermon. This was just after David Jenkins had been made Bishop of Durham. Now, but David Jenkins was someone who had some unorthodox views about God. I mean, like very unorthodox views about God. And my dad preached in a sermon about bishops in sheep's clothing. And he was told off for that, but you know he was right. I'm not going to point any fingers today, but we have to be careful of these people. And Jesus says it's very simple. You can know them by their fruit. You recognize a good tree by the fruit that it gives you. Now there are some quite interesting plants that look like good fruit until it comes to the time of picking the fruit. There's one that the people in the first century would have known about looks like a grape when it's young, but once it gets a little bit older, it no longer does. And it could fool you for a while. But if you wait for the fruit, you can tell a good tree from a bad tree. And that's what you've got to do with people. This is another metaphor. You have to look at what is coming out of people's lives. What kind of people are they? And we judge the good and the bad according to some other standard than what they say. Look for the fruit that they give. We need to find the teachers and the prophets and the people that are of God and then follow them. They do help. I hope they help. I hope you find it useful when you gather like this and we can think together about the scriptures and what God is saying to us. But I hope you always do it with a little antenna that says, what's the fruit? Is this right? Is this correct? Because that's your responsibility as well as mine. Avoid the bad fruit. I've got one more ABC for you. I'm sorry, this isn't quite right, but if we can have it up there, it's all about Christ. You knew that, didn't you? It's all about Christ. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. You'd think, wouldn't you, the people who come into church and praise God and are standing there singing and waving their arms around and doing all those things, you would think that they would be the right people, wouldn't you? But Jesus says no. It's not that everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is wrong. All right, please don't think that, because we've been singing that, and I don't think we as a whole are wrong. I think actually we're doing that in the right spirit. But we do need to be careful, and we need to be aware that just because someone goes through the motions of doing the right things, of saying the right things, of being in the right place, of going to church on Sunday and doing their good works, giving money, being generous, that does not make you a Christian. That does not mean that you have chosen that narrow road, that you're on that hard road that leads to life. Jesus says to them, I never knew you. There's a verse in John's Gospel, John 6:29, I think it is, where Jesus talks about the work of God. The work of God is to believe in the one that he has sent. You see, it's all about Christ. It's all about truly him. It's all about living in Christ. It's focusing on him all the time. Jesus is calling us to make a choice. And it's a choice that is a choice between life and death, between life and destruction, as he puts it here. And he's calling us to make that choice. It's a choice that affects every part of our lives. It's a choice that affects every decision we make. It's a choice that helps us. You know, there is this dichotomy sometimes between faith and the things we do. And I've just said that the things we do are not going to save you. But at the same time, the things that the prophets do, the fruit that they give, is how you tell whether they're good or bad. You see, it's not the things you do, it's the reason why you do the things you do. And if you have faith, if you are truly saying, Lord, Lord, because he is your Lord, rather than just going through the motions, then what you will find is that that faith at work in you, that God's Holy Spirit, who you are therefore welcoming into your life, will mean that the kind of things you do are going to be the fruitful kind of things that God is looking for. You will find that the things in the earlier parts of the Sermon on the Mount become, I'm not going to say quite natural, but some of them will become natural as you get used to doing them, as you get used to following in the ways that Jesus has called you to walk. Faith and action go together. As James says, you tell me, show me your faith, and I will show you my faith by what I do. And it's the outworking of that faith through the actions that we perform, by the way our lives are lived, by the way we reflect who God is, because we spend time in his presence, learning from him and walking in his way. That's what Jesus wants of us. That's the choice he calls us to make. So make that choice. Choose. I am going to follow Christ. I am going to walk that narrow road. And I don't care whether anyone else is walking that road with me or whether 100 people are walking that road with me. I am going on the way of Christ. And choose your company wisely. Choose to be with people who are going to help you and support you on the road. And avoid those people who will keep on trying to pull you down because they are jealous or because, through the devil's schemes, he tries to divert you, tries to distract you. You know how easy it is to get distracted? So easy, isn't it? And it always starts with something really small and insignificant. And once you've made that small and insignificant mistake, it becomes the next obvious thing to do is just a slightly larger mistake. And how many people have been trapped into really difficult situations by one tiny, silly, silly mistake? But if you ever do make one silly mistake, please don't be so ashamed of that mistake that you can't confess and say, I made a mistake, I got it wrong. Because it's so much better to do that than to fall into the trap of the devil's schemes. Don't let people lead you astray. Always walk in that way that says, Lord, Lord, because he is your Lord. Because on that last day, what I would like Jesus to say to me is, welcome. I know you. I know you. I know you. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you for that challenge. We thank you for the power and the strength of your Holy Spirit to help us make those decisions every day. Lord, we choose to follow you. We choose to be in your kingdom. We choose to have you as our Lord. Fill us with your spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name.